नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टतृषाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। दिस इज द श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट नंबर 7 And we're reading the translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, savior of the modern world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We're continuing from the description of Nabhi Maharaj and his son Rishabhadev. And there are two examples being cited here, two ancient shlokas that glorify the character of Maharaj Nabhi. We heard one of them yesterday. Today we're hearing the second one. So kindly repeat. Brahmanyonyakuto Nabhir Vipra Mangala Pujitaha यस्य बर्हिष यज्ञेशम् दर्शयाम आसुर ओजसा ब्रह्मण्योऽन्यः कुतो नाभिर् विप्रा मंगल पूजिताः यस्य बर्हिष यज्ञेशम् दर्शयाम आसुर ओजसा ब्रह्मण्योऽन्यकुतो नाभिर् विप्रा मंगल पूजिताः यस्य बर्हिषि अग्नेशम् दर्शयाम आसुर ओजसा ब्रह्मण्योऽन्यः कुतो नाभिर् विप्रा मंगल पूजिताम् यज्ञेशम् दर्शयामासुर ओजसा ब्रह्मण्योऽन्यः कुतो नाभिर् विप्रा मंगल पूजिताः यस्य बर्हिषि यज्ञेशम् दर्शयाम आसुर ओजसा ब्रह्मण्योऽन्यः कुतो नाभिर् विप्रा मंगल पूजिताः यस्य बर्हिषित ज्ञेशम् दर्शयामासुरोजसा ब्रह्मण्योऽन्यः कुतो नाभिर् विप्रा मंगल पूजिताः यस्य बर्हिषि ज्ञेशम् दर्शयामासुरोजसा Ladies, kanonya kato nabhir vipramangala pujitaham yasya garahasi yagnyesham darshayam asur ojasa brahmanyonya kato nabhir vipramangala pujitaham yasya barahasi yagnyesham darshayam asur ojasa brahmanya. A devotee of the brahmanas, anyaha, any other, kutaha, where is, nabhehe, besides Maharaj Nabhi, vipraha, the brahmanas, mangala pujitaha, well worshipped and satisfied, yasya, of whom, barahishi, in the sacrificial arena, yajna isham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies, darashayam asuho, showed, ojasa, by their brahminical prowess. Translation. The second prayer is this. Who is a better worshipper of brahmanas than Maharaj Nabhi? Because he worshipped the qualified brahmanas to their full satisfaction, the brahmanas, by their brahminical prowess, showed Maharaj Nabhi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, in person. Please repeat. The second prayer is this. Who is a better worshipper of brahmanas than Maharaj Nabhi? Because he worshipped the qualified brahmanas to their full satisfaction, the brahmanas, by their brahminical prowess, showed Maharaj Nabhi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, in person. Purport. The brahmanas engaged as priests in the sacrificial ceremony were not ordinary brahmanas. They were so powerful that they could bring forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their prayers. Thus, Maharaj Nabhi was able to see the Lord face to face. Unless one is a Vaishnava, he cannot call forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord does not accept an invitation unless one is a Vaishnava. Therefore, it is said in Padma Purana, Shat karmane puno vipro mantra tantra visharadah avaishnavo gurur nasyat vaishnavah swapacho guruhu. A scholarly brahmana, expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava. But a person born in a family of a lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava. End quote. These brahmanas were certainly very expert in chanting the Vedic mantras. They were competent in the performance of the Vedic rituals. And over and above this, they were Vaishnavas. Therefore, by their spiritual powers, they could call on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and enable their disciple, Maharaj Nabhi, to see the Lord face to face. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the word ojasa means by dint of devotional service. Om Agnana Timirantasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Uttapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Brahmanyo anyakuto na pher vipra mangala pujitaha, yasya barhashi yagnesham darshayam asur, ojasa. The second prayer is this: Who is a better worshipper of Brahmanas than Maharaj Nabhi? Because he worshipped the qualified Brahmanas to their full satisfaction, the Brahmanas, by their brahminical prowess, showed Maharaj Nabhi the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, in person. It's stated in the many places in the Shastra that in this day and age, Kali Yuga, everyone is a Shudra. Everyone is, by default, we are all born Shudras. In fact, if you take the care to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, and particularly in the seventh skanta of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm thinking of chapter, well, there are several chapters. There are five chapters in the seventh canto that deal with the Varnashram system. And if you carefully study what are the qualifications of the bona fide Shudra, the Shudra, then you will see that in most cases it's very difficult for us to rise to that level of Adhikar. So what to speak of being so qualified in Brahminical prowess, as Prabhupada puts it here, that we're able to call forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, in their various commentaries on this verse, the acharyas do not all agree with one another exactly. I mean, generally there is agreement, but there is some subtle variation of interpretation. Particularly, there are a few words here, two words, that the acharyas that seem to catch their attention and that they comment on. One of them is ojas. Does anyone know what does the word ojas mean? Ojas. Power? Anything else? Ojas. Effulgence? Anything else? Well, let's dive into the realm of Ayurveda a little bit. In chapter 15, there are a couple of verses. Krishna says, Yadadityagatam tejo jagadbhasya ket khilam Yachandramasi yachagnau tat tejo vidhimamakam. We're talking about power, means tejas. There's two things. There's tejas and there's ojas. Tejas is coming through the sun, and ojas is coming through the moon. They're both effulgence. They're both power. They're both necessary to sustain all life in this world, but they're not the same thing. They have a very different quality. Then he goes on, and this is chapter 15, text number 13. Gam avishya chabhudani dharyami aham ojasa. It is through ojas that I sustain all living beings, having entered the earth in that form. Pushnami choshatihi sarva somo bhutva rasatmakaha. In all things that are sustained by rasa. And who is not sustained by rasa? Whether we look at rasa in terms of physical properties, or whether you look at rasa in terms of its emotional properties, or even its spiritual properties. Because the Taittiriya Upanishad confirms, raso vayasaha, that supreme absolute truth is ultimately rasa. And Srila Rupa Goswami has unpacked the transcendental secrets of that Shruti mantra in his Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu, an ocean of nectarian rasa derived from bhakti. There he is referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the reservoir of all pleasures, Srila Prabhupada used to translate. So, rasa is a hard term to translate, but Pushnami Choshatihi Saravaha. All medicines I invest, I nourish by becoming soma, rasatmaka, which is of the nature of rasa. Soma is that the moon, and soma affects ojas. Ojas is what allows prana to circulate throughout the bodies of all living beings. And that Krishna says, I have become that thing. So ojas is a very difficult word to translate, and yet here, there's difference of opinion among the acharyas about exactly what it means. According to Sridhar Swami, he says, ojasa mantra balena, by their brahminical prowess, as Prabhupada translates it. According to Sridhar Swami, we are saying that they have, by the potency of their mantras, they have been able to call forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as usual, Srila Prabhupada reflects this understanding in his own translation and purport. If we revisit here, Jai, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Lalita Vishakaradha Shyamasundara Vijay. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada says, they were so powerful that they could bring forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their prayers. That is indicated by the word mantra balena in Sridhar Swami's commentary. Now, Jiva Goswami, well, that's a different story. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a different interpretation, slightly different interpretation. Not necessarily different, but a little bit different angle. Srila Prabhupada instructed his disciples that when we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the injunction is there to study the Srimad Bhagavatam in the company of like-minded persons, devotees, especially those who are advanced devotees, more advanced than ourselves. And Srila Prabhupada instructed us to study these things from all different angles. So that's what we're doing here, by the grace of our predecessor acharyas, and as represented by Srila Prabhupada. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur glosses the word ojasa as bhakti balena, and that Srila Prabhupada also represents in his purport, as you will recall. On the other hand, other acharyas are saying slightly different things. Viraraghava Acharya of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, he agrees with Sridhar Swami. He says it means mantra balena, by the potency of their mantra. In the Karmakanda school, or the Purvimimamsa school, it's understood that the mantra itself has the potency to affect universal cosmic level changes. And Krishna describes this to some degree in chapter 3 of the Bhagavad Gita when he says, for example, saha yajna praja srishta purovacha prajapatihi anena prasavishyadvam esha vostvishta kamaduk. This world is a wish-fulfilling cow. And I'm giving it to you. Please perform yajna within this world and you will be happy, will be sustained. Then he goes on. Devan bhavayatan ena te deva bhavayantuvaha parasparam bhavayanta shriya paramavapsyata. You can attain the supreme ultimate welfare by cooperating with the devas. By pleasing the devas will in turn also please you. It's a reciprocal relationship. You can even say it's a symbiosis. This is dharma. And this is so important that it's also been described that unless one performs dharma, unless one performs this karma, means the previous verse, what was the word used yesterday? Does anyone remember? Shuddhena karmana. Purified activity. Purified activity actually means dharma. There's no such thing as purified vikarma. It doesn't work. So karma in a general sense means any kind of action, but particularly it means ritual action that has been purified by the directions of the Vedic literatures as understood by great Brahmins and especially Vaishnava acharyas. We have to do that. And everybody along with birth, everyone has a corresponding set of duties to perform. And we're completely unaware of these things because it's Kali Yuga and we don't even qualify as Shudras yet. But these things are important. Sometimes we hear about the Panchamaha Yajnas, that a person just by dint of being born as a human being, you're automatically indebted to five classes. Who are they? Your forefathers, the great sages, the people in general, the demigods, like this. And generally in the smarta system, a person is expected to engage in some sort of sacrifice to show gratitude. That's what Krishna is referring to in this verse here. By pleasing the demigods will also please you and supply all desirable things. And that's an important thing to consider here, because ultimately, what is this sacrifice about? It's about fulfilling the desire for a son, as we heard yesterday. So, mantra balena, that's all this meaning is kind of, the words mantra balena kind of connote all of this. It harks back to the Vedic mantras and their importance in ritual sacrifice, which is what we're seeing here. Now, other acharyas have said different things. Vijayatwaj Tirtha of the Madhva Sampradaya, he says, he glosses Ojasa as tapo janitena, that which is generated as a result of performing tapasya. What is it that's generated by the result of performing tapas? Basically, anything auspicious. If we look back to the second canto, chapter 9, when Lord Brahma had finished performing his penances, he heard this voice out of nowhere telling him to perform penance. And he performed that penance, and what happened? He saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what did the Supreme Personality of Godhead tell him about the importance or the profundity of penance? He said, Srijami tapasaivedam. Grasami tapasa punaha, bibharami tapasa vishvam, viryam me duscharam tapaha. My potency, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is telling Brahma, my own potency, which is very difficult to comprehend and very difficult even to execute, it comes about only through tapas, through austerity. It is by austerity that I create all this. It's by austerity that the entire cosmic manifestation is maintained, and it's by austerity that I recall it all again. by tapas. That's the importance of tapas. So therefore, Viraraghavacharya is not incorrect in saying that ojasa means these brahmanas had tapojanita, that thing which is generated as a result of performing tapas. In other words, they had all auspiciousness. That's the significance of the word mangala, mangala pujita. So that's the next thing. But before we move on to that, there's a couple of other spins, if you will, on this word ojas. A commentator of the Pushtimarga Sampradaya, Giritari Lal, he writes, tapo bhakti prabhavena. It was by the influence of their austere bhakti. I suppose we can interpret it here tapa as tivra bhakti, because tapa also means intense. Tapa, in fact, means to burn also. Sometimes we were hearing yesterday, people get burnt out with intense devotional service. So actually bhakti, the more intense the bhakti is, the more purified we become. And sometimes that hurts the things that we identify with, such as the false ego and the mind and the body. So we have to pace ourselves. That he also made a point very carefully yesterday. Okay, so what else? Now, mangala, I had mentioned. The next word that the acharyas, shantiroho kripaya, the next word that the acharyas have commented on at length is the word mangala. What does mangala mean? Auspicious. Generally, this is the idea. They've also given various interpretations of this word. According to Sridhar Swami, mangalair dakshinabhihi pujita santaha brahmanaha. The brahmanas were worshipped by such things as dakshina. We know from chapter 17 of the Bhagavad Gita that if someone engages in sacrifice but does not remunerate the priest with dakshina, then that sacrifice is considered to be tamasic. It's considered to be in the mode of ignorance. It's a very, very important thing. One has to give dakshina to one's guru. Therefore, after the initiation ceremony, we all know, the disciples all come about and beg for dakshina for their guru. That's the injunction. So by such dakshina, even at a sacrifice performed, one is expected, the person who is sponsoring the sacrifice is expected to give some dakshina to the priest as well. That's called yajamana. So this is an important thing. He says, Sridhar Swami says, mangalair dakshinabhihi pujita. And Jiva Goswami has said, on the other hand, mangalam here means sukhabhava, means to their full content. It's used in the sense of happiness. They were completely satisfied by whatever puja he had done for them. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, mangalam yatha syat tatha dakshinabhihi prasadita, which means essentially the same thing. He gave as much as was possible, as much as was necessary to satisfy those Brahmins. That's what he gave them. And bhaktitvan mangalenaiva kartra pujita diva. On the other hand, another interpretation is that they were auspicious in performing this sacrifice, and he worshipped them because they were auspicious, and they were auspicious because they were devotees. Remember, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is the same one who told us that ojasa means bhakti balena, by dint of, by the power of one's bhakti. So again, he's saying that they were auspicious. They were worshipped as auspicious, in other words, because they were devotees. Because what does a devotee do? He chants, mangalam bhagavan vishnu mangalam garuda dhvaja mangalam pundarikaksham mangalayatano harihi. Very well-known shloka. Means that Lord Bhagavan Vishnu is all auspicious. He's the lotus-eyed supreme personality of Godhead, etc. So this is what another commentator says. He actually quotes that verse and says, ityad yuktehe, on the basis of references such as this, mangalatvena vishnu dhya pujitaha. their minds were fixed on Krishna, and therefore he regarded them as non-different from Krishna because they were Vaishnavas. This is the idea. Hari Guru, Vaishnava, they're all on the same transcendental platform, although they're not absolutely one and the same. So, Mangalam iti bhava pradhana nirdesha. It's indicating that they were happiness. Or, on the other hand, there are different ways to make a brahmana happy. What are the traditional ways that a brahmana is satisfied in Bharatiya Sanskriti, in traditional Indian culture? This is called shishtachar, in correct behavior, according to the Smriti. He quotes one verse here. Hiranyam dathiratnani gavo bhumish chakanyakaha lajas tila haridracha rochana guru kunkamaha mangalartha ime shabdas smita duravana chamangale. The word mangala can be used to indicate the kinds of things that we give in charity to a brahmana, such as gold and milk products and jewelry and cows and grants of land and unmarried girls for marriage and sesame and haldi, what do we call haldi? Turmeric. And so many things. Kumkuma, so many scents like this. These are the traditional gifts that are given, he's saying here. So, the important point is that one is satisfied, the Brahmins are satisfied because they were Vaishnavas. It's important for us to consider what does it mean to be a Vaishnava. Here also the word yajnesham is used. Yajnesha means the Lord of Sacrifice. Vishnu is always considered to be the Lord in any sacrifice. Even if we're performing karmakandiya sacrifice, always we have to establish Lord Vishnu in that yajna and worship Lord Vishnu. I remember my wife said that when she was young, she was always noticing in every yajna that they would perform, at the end of the yajna they always say, Sri Krishna Arpanamastu. Has anyone heard this? Very common. Why do we always say Sri Krishna, unless he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the enjoyer of all sacrifices? And this he himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhuktaram yajnatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam jnatva mam shantim richati. A person can become peaceful. Peaceful means satisfied in mind. When he understands that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, Krishna is the supreme controller, and Krishna is ultimately our supreme friend. So the Brahmins had this character. We're continuing the discussion of the descendants of Manu here, are we not? Because we've already discussed in the fourth canto the descendants of Uttanapada. Now what about his brother? His brother is Priyavrata Maharaj, and we're discussing Priyavrata Maharaj's descendants. And the current descendant we're talking about is Rishabhadeva, or actually Nabhi Maharaj. So, when Narada had instructed the brothers of Priyavrata Maharaj, that is to say the Prachetas, not the Prachetas, the descendants of his brother, the Prachetas, he said, Dayaya sarva bhuteshu santushtya yena kena va sarvendriyopashantyacha tushyati ashu janardhanaha. If we want to please Janardhan, there's a simple formula given here. He says, you should be kind to all living beings. Be kind to all living beings. Dayaya, show them mercy. And santushtya yena kenacha, as far as you yourself are concerned, somehow or other be satisfied. This is the equality of these brahmanas. They were satisfied. Not that he had to give so much, just like now in India. I mean, it's a perverse tendency, cultural tendency. It's a very auspicious thing to give in charity on the occasion of one's marriage, but when you start killing people when they don't give enough, that is also tamasic. So, santushti. Santushtya yena kena cha. Somehow or other, you should be satisfied. This is another qualification. And sarvendriyo pachyantyacha. When your mind is satisfied, then the senses are automatically also pacified. This is the third thing. If someone can accomplish these things, then he can please Janardhan. He can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the central point here is that we're not talking about ordinary, mundane, materialistic brahmanas, neither even just impersonal brahmanas who have jnana alone. We're talking about devotees, Vaishnava brahmanas. That is why they had, through the power of their mantra, or through the power of their tapas, or through the power of their bhakti, however you want to look at it, they had the capacity to call forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead and benedict their disciple like that. It's something like Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has written, Sangsara davana laliha loka tranaya karunya ghana ghanatvam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. The spiritual master is like a cloud. The cloud pulls water out of the ocean through the agency of the sun, and then it distributes that water on the land where we are all parched and dried up. So like that, the qualified Vaishnavas, they are giving mercy to their disciple in the form of direct darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada has also benedicted us in this very same way, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, and carefully avoiding offenses and trying to advance in this path of bhakti in the association of more advanced devotees, then we too will see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In fact, it's even confirmed on the wall down the street. I saw the other day on the Parikrama path, there was a chopai was written, Sri Radha Nama Leya Jabokoi Sahajahi Damodaravashahoi. Means that if anybody takes the name of Srimati Radharani here in Vrindavan, that's very popular idea, then automatically he brings Damodar under his control. This is Bhakti Prabala. This is the power of bhakti. So these Brahmins were so pure and so devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they were able to call forth Lord Narayana to come and benedict Maharaj Nabhi. And then in coming verses, we will see what happens. For now, I'll stop here. But if anybody has any questions or comments, we can discuss any of these points further. Yes, please. We have a microphone.
I think you mentioned that in today's day and age, everyone is born a Shudra, and generally as time goes by, they get lower than that, not so much higher. But in previous ages, we were talking about Brahmanas, some Brahmanas are Vaishnavas, and some Brahmanas are just Jnanis alone.
Or Karmis.
Or Karmis. So back then, when they were born with so many qualifications and had so much better intelligence than what is even possible today, how is it that any Brahmana would not become a Vaishnava just by seeing reality as it is?
Very good question. Very good question. Let us take note of this, that it is not an easy thing to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one reason it's not so easy is because it is not the result of any amount of intelligence. Prabhupada quoted that verse in his purport. You may have so much intelligence, you may be expert in the mantras and tantras, you may know how to perform all fruitive rituals very well, but that's not what it takes. One has to be pure in heart. You can memorize the Srimad Bhagavatam, but all you will do, if you remain at heart a non-devotee, once you've memorized the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, is poison yourself with it, and poison others with it as well. That's what Chanakya Pandit says. He says, unapplied Shastra is worse than poison. because it's like a snake with a jewel on the hood. Therefore we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sometimes we see unbridled and not very well-directed enthusiasm in devotional service. Yesterday we were hearing about the difference between generations in this way. So our enthusiasm, our essential urge to surrender something to Krishna has to be very carefully directed. And that is why it is so important to study Srila Prabhupada's books, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada told us many times, his criticism of his disciples was that they did not adequately study his books, and we still suffer from that problem. On the other hand, once we have the discrimination about what to do, we also need the power to do that. Because everybody knows that it's one thing to know what is the right thing to do, and it is another thing altogether to actually do the right thing. This is a famous verse from the Mahabharata. I think it's in the words of Duryodhana, who said, Janami dharmam nacha me pravritti, Janami adharmam nacha me nivritti. I know what is dharma, but I cannot do it. And I know what is adharma, but I can't restrain myself. This is our problem. See, so both things have to be there. Shravanam and kirtanam have to go hand in hand. And you get a taste for either one by serving the Vaishnavas, as Maharaj Nabhi has shown by his example. Then you see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in previous ages, people may have been so qualified. Every generation we see it seems to go down a little bit, isn't it? Anywhere you go, anywhere in the world, at any age, the older generation will also say that the younger generation is not quite up to snuff. But, you know, this is not really consequential, because if this is capital I and capital F, if someone is really sincere, devotee of Krishna, then whatever he requires will be supplied by Krishna. Yayatha mam prapadyante tan sataiva ityadi. So the real thing is that it's not just a function of these material qualifications. It's a function of grace, divine grace. We need mercy. In this fallen age, we're only mercy cases. Therefore, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, Yogjnana mattam bhuvanam dayalu ralaghayanapi akramot pramattam. Swaprema sampat sudhayad buteham Shri Krishna Chaitanya mamum prabhade. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind, the golden avatar. He's coming and throwing out love of Godhead left, right, and center without discrimination. He's taking a world that is maddened with sense gratification, and he's bringing them through the process of purification to become civilized human beings, and ultimately making them maddened instead in love of Godhead. That's a long way, and it's not so easy thing. But if we have that determination and exercise that determination, we can win Krishna's favor. Especially it's expedited by serving the Vaishnavas. Is that okay? Anything else? Yes?
Sometimes we hear that we just need to chant, dance, and
go over. Is that not enough austerity? I'm sitting here in Vrindavan 30 years later, and there's no one in this room that was here at that time. There's practically very few God brothers of mine who are still here that I recall from 1976. Where did they go? Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye ityadi. Krishna says it's how many, very few people attempt this path of bhakti yoga, and of those who do, and of those who make some solid advancement, very few of them even become perfect. It's not that easy. Therefore, Prabhupada said, your austerity is simply to follow this process, simply chanting, dancing, feasting philosophy. That's enough austerity for us. You do not have to live in a cave and starve yourself, because you can't even chant 16 rounds. Not you personally, of course, but in general, we have difficulty. At least sometimes, everybody has difficulty. So don't be proud. Just understand that I don't know what kind of test is awaiting me 6 months from now. But Krishna knows. He's sarva-kshetra-vikara-vit. When the sons of Nalakuvara, Manigriva, the sons of Kuvera, after they had worshipped Damodar, they were appreciating the mercy that Narad Muni had shown them, and Krishna confirmed. Yes, this sadhu is like the sun. We were mentioning earlier, we all are living only by the grace of the sun in this world. All life is enabled by the sun. And the sadhu is like that, spiritually. And Krishna told them that, and then they were appreciating the fact that Krishna is the one who sees us. Through all the changes that we go through, he's sitting with us and watching and accompanying us, and he will not let us go if we do not let him go. There's a couple more. I'll take the one in front.
You have mentioned that Shravanam and Kirtanam, the test for that comes by the serving devotees.
Yeah. This is Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2. We are supposed to see everyone as Vaishnava. You have to speak into the mic otherwise.
Yeah.
And a little loud.
And so, we are sometimes not qualified to discriminate who is a Vaishnava and who is not. So, we are supposed to serve everyone.
Okay, the question I think is that we are supposed to respect all Vaishnavas, correct? Is that what you mean? Serve Vaishnavas, but what Vaishnavas to serve? That's your question. Because some of them seem to be more advanced to us, and we can't really tell. Well, the first thing I mentioned already, if we study the third canto very carefully, we'll see that Kapila Dev has given us some instructions about mixed devotional service and how to identify a person who is mixed. And elsewhere in the Smritis, we also receive injunctions that we should be very careful to discriminate who to associate with. Discrimination is often a bad word in modern parlance, but in fact it is the key word of Madhyam Adhikar. We have to discriminate, but inside, not externally. I mean, that we don't verbalize our faith when it's subjective. We act on it quietly. But in addition to that, when we can recognize that someone is more advanced than us, then we should associate with and faithfully serve that person. When a person is